Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ. And man, have we got a lot of good stuff to talk about. There's one bad thing to talk about. It's the Diamondbacks and Astros yesterday. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, for whatever reason, I don't know what the deal is. They just, that backdrop or whatever it was, usually you can hit in Arizona. Usually, and now you did face Madison Bumgarner, but let's face it, Stromy's there. Are the Diamondbacks going to be a lot better pitchers this year?
Yes. Well, you won that game.
Yeah, but you only scored two runs.
Right. You didn't score a lot. Well, this is what the Astros do a lot, though. They go into runs wherever they just.
No, they
do. We don't talk about it as much because the pitching has been better and it wins games more than ease. But this has been an Astro issue for a long time, even with great lineups.
No, that's true. That is true. They will all of a sudden disappear. There's no question about that and go into huge slumps. But I got to believe that the Diamondbacks are going to be a better pitching staff, and they were really good over these two games. For whatever reason, they struggle with this. I don't get it, but they do. It just seems like this team does give them it gives them fits. There's so much to do though, and you know, hey, I don't know what the deal was. They could pitch really really well, and the Astros just couldn't find the plate, dude. Fromber with all those walks, Presley was wild. It just seemed like everybody. Nobody could throw a strike yesterday. Holy crap. But they got out of all of those jams for the most part.
And then got a clutch hit.
Yeah.
And then got it scored.
Well, they got two clutch sack flies.
Yeah, but I mean they made clutch plays to get what they needed to get. And then had a chance to win it in a 10th.
Yeah. Well, they took the lead, but then, you know, you score only one run with the runner on second.
And then your famous closer did it.
And he struggled. I don't think there's any question about that. 15 pitches and only five of them were strikes. He really struggled to find the strike zone. But he wasn't alone. There were walks all over the place. Blanco gave up two walks. Presley gave up two walks. Fromber, three innings. Five walks.
Yeah, that was bad. It's always, which Fromber are you getting? Location Fromber, like start one? Or this is that Fromber that showed up last summer. This is the Fromber that we had, you know, the previous years. When Fromber is not locating his pitches, this is what you get. He has to scramble to get out of innings. And it's just, I don't get it. And that's one of my big concerns with Brent Strom being gone is, are we sure that these things get corrected? Because this has been an ongoing thing with Fromber where all of a sudden he runs into this problem where he can't throw strikes. I'm hoping that even with Strom gone that, you know, that everyone on the staff can fix those issues that Strom used to be able to fix in season.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see whether or not.
Well, that's what they get paid for. That's,
yeah.
Supposedly, you don't want to lose these guys.
Well, no, you don't. You didn't. So, I mean, they've been there a while, really and you wanted to get them there. You know, at some point, you know, you're tired of being a vice president, and you want to be the president. So we'll see. Hopefully, they'll be good at this and get Fromber straightened out. It was one start. His previous start, Fromber was really good. Hey, they're throwing a lot of pitches, though, and they're not getting the innings that they want. And everybody is on a pitch count right now. I'll get to the pitch count in just a second because there was a huge pitch count controversy yesterday in Major League Baseball. But did you see Ronel Blanco pitch yesterday for the Astros?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, he pitched the other night in Anaheim as well.
Right.
I saw a story. The Athletic did a story on him. He's 28 years old. He was 24 years old, didn't have a team. He was washing cars in the Dominican Republic.
Wow.
And he had come out. He had pitched. He was a position player, and then he finally moved to pitcher. And he had pitched for a bunch. He had auditions for a bunch of teams, and he just didn't make it. And he's 24 years old, and he's washing cars, and he goes out, and the Astros see him, and he's throwing 93, 94. And they were
at the
like,
car wash?
At right after he was done washing cars.
Oh, okay.
So the Astros signed him for $5,000, and now he's pitching at the big league level.
Jim Crane's kind of guy.
Well,
$5,000 pitcher.
It's got nothing to
Sir,
do.
Sir, how would you like a two-year extension?
It is a great – hey, you want to talk about – as a matter of fact, the scout who found him is with another team right now, and he said – I started to cry when I saw Blanco come out. And pitch in Anaheim. He said, That's something
unusual,
different.
Too.
The good news is Christian Javier looked really good.
Yeah.
Christian Javier looked great. Five strikeouts in three innings.
I think people are sleeping on Christian Javier. He was really good in 2020 in the shortened season. And then last year it was really up and down. But I think Christian Javier has really terrific stuff. I'm such a fan because I think he has the type of stuff that can be starter or potentially, you know, reliever. He's the guy to me that I'm excited about because if you get the 2020 Christian Javier back, it's like you're getting a different pitcher. It's like you're getting a different player. But did the Astros chase Blanco out of baseball with the sign stealing? Because remember where we heard that they cost thousands of baseball players their jobs with the trash can thing? Remember they chased everyone out of baseball?
One guy.
All the pitchers
and his lawsuit was dropped. But yeah, okay.
You mean the guy? Oh, the guy that had a 7 ERA rest of the year with everybody?
The Astros chased him out of baseball.
Yeah, oh, man, I'd heard about that. I was really feeling bad. And luckily steroids did nothing to hurt anyone's.
No.
Any pitchers.
Hitters' careers. Right.
Yeah.
Right. No.
So Blanco was just at a car wash.
But he was, no, but that's a great story.
Can I interest you in $5,000?
And listen, they said he played baseball in the morning and then went and washed cars just to make a living so that they could eat. And now here he is pitching at the big league level, making $700,000 a year. I love that. That's a great story. Redemption story. That's just a tremendous story. So anyway, I just thought I'd pass that story along to everybody.
No, that's cool.
For those who didn't know. Yeah,
I saw the headlines. I didn't read the article. I'm subscribed to the Athletic.
Yeah.
I saw the headlines. It comes in the email in the morning, and I saw that story. I just figured, somebody
else
will get the
story. It's not worth reading about a nice story about a guy who overcame his circumstances in the Dominican Republic to feed himself and his mom?
I wish I would have. At the time, I went, Blanco.
Man of the people?
I said, Blanco. I don't really know this guy that well.
Let's
let this one slide.
Man, you're not a man of the people.
No, I said, okay? Here's what I'm looking for.
If you don't come up with a silver spoon,
do you have a Malik Willis article? Is there a Malik Willis article?
Yeah, I saw Malik Willis.
Do you have an
giving
article?
Out clothes to a pregnant woman.
That's
on
what
the
I'm
street.
Saying. You got that? If you got that article, I'll read it. If you have an article about Bernard Raymond coming over from Austria and becoming a, I'll read that one. Right now,
another rich guy from Austria coming over.
Another reliever.
Okay.
Another reliever? No.
Is he going to be bussed to Washington, D.C.?
Do you want me to start telling you stories about tight ends turned tackles?
No.
Is that the kind of excitement that people are looking for? That one's a better story. Blanco's story is a
better story than
than Luke Gehdeke from Central Michigan, where he was a tight end. The Bernard Raymond story, just quickly, he was a tight end. And then he's like, during the pandemic, his coaches said, we want to move you to tackle. He goes, okay. He goes, but we have a lockdown. That was their plan before lockdown. Then it was lockdown. He's like watching YouTube videos of NFL players and trying to figure out how to be an offensive tackle during a lockdown.
And now he's
send videos. He taped it himself. He put it up against a TV to where it was tilted just perfectly, and he did things, and he sent it to his offensive line coach. How does this look? He goes, okay. So his offensive line coach would send him email about, okay, don't do this with your hands, do this with your feet. And that's how he had to learn the position during an international lockdown.
While he was
washing
cars. He
had to watch YouTube videos to figure out how he was going to. Better than car wash story.
No, it's not.
And then they gave him $5,000 in NIL money. And then he was...
Maybe they did, or more. Central Michigan ain't paying. The Chippewas?
No, he was in Austria. He was just happy to be here. Yeah, they're Chippewas.
Yeah, the Chippewas. They ain't paying.
No, they're not.
708 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pitch count. Boy, we had one yesterday. Clayton Kershaw, perfect through seven innings.
Not a no-hitter, a perfect game.
Perfect game, and he's thrown 80 pitches, and he gets pulled.
Process versus results is the argument here. Process versus results. if this is a long season and you are hoping to win a World Series, I completely understand not taking a chance to damage an arm. I totally get it.
We've seen it before, too.
Guys going
for a no-hitter, throws 100-some pitches.
And this is
the beginning of the season. But you could also argue it's only 80 pitches.
But they also didn't have as long a spring, as long a time to get ready because of the lockout. I don't know. The Astros
aren't throwing more than 80 pitches, period.
I know. I don't know what Clayton Kershaw was. This is a league-wide deal where I think all the teams understand there's enough analytics involved and data points to suggest physically. The sports science says do not test until the arm gets this many reps. It's not going to be ready.
And Kershaw is injury prone. Here is Kershaw.
Yeah, he is.
Here is Kershaw after the game talking about getting pulled through 80 pitches in a perfect game.
That's really all we're here for. As much as I would have wanted to do it, I've thrown 75 pitches in a sim game, you know, and I hadn't gone six innings, let alone seven. And sure, I would have loved to have do it, but, you know, maybe we get another chance. Who knows?
And then Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts also, because he caught it. Now, he caught it, and I'll tell you, oh, my God.
Well, Dave Roberts likes
making Reggie Jackson, the old-timers came out of the wood.
Oh, well, this isn't. Old-timers think you should go 125 pitches minimum.
But they're like, what are you doing? Reggie Jackson said, listen, all of you that never played, get out of our way because this is crap. Here is Dave Roberts explaining, pulling Clayton Kershaw yesterday.
Got to 80 pitches, and I felt that the stuff was starting to tick down, talking to Austin and Clayton himself. And so, you know, I think there's a point where you just got to decide. I got to decide to what end. I'm as big a fan as anyone and a fan of Clayton, and to see a battery of him and Austin throw a perfect game or a no-hitter, I'm all in. But again, to what end or to what cost? And so every decision I make is for the best interest of the player, their health, and the ball club, because there's a lot of people that are cheering for the Dodgers, not only just for today and Clayton to throw a no-hitter, but for the Dodgers to win the World Series.
Yeah, he's guaranteed it, by the way. Dave Roberts guaranteed a World Series win, by the way.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, this offseason. So,
was a little bit of a surprise to me. You know when the last time a perfect game was thrown? Because no-hitters are no big deal. You're going to get that every week now. A no-hitter... That's no hitters come
Dallas,
out like
what's his name?
The last no hitters were since
perfect
then.
Game.
I mean, last perfect game.
Last perfect game.
National League perfect game and American League perfect game happened in the same year. Do you remember when it was?
No,
it was 10 years ago, 2012. We've had a lot of no hitters since
who's
then.
Through?
It was King Felix.
Okay,
Felix Hernandez and Matt Cain. Remember Matt Cain?
Giants.
He was a pitcher. Yeah. He was pretty good at one time.
He was really good, yeah.
So that was the last time you have perfect game. So I could understand Reggie. You know, since 2000, there have been three National League perfect games. Randy Johnson, Roy Halladay, Matt Cain. Pretty good pitchers. And in the American League, since 2000, there have been four. Mark Burley, Dallas Braden, Philip Umber.
Dallas Braden, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, Dallas Braden, Philip Umber, and King Felix. So there's been seven over the last 22 years. So I get that it's more special than a no-hitter. A no-hitter, you almost say, who cares? Like, honestly, Mike Fiers has two no-hitters. They are meaningless now. Literally, human rats can throw no-hitters. No one cares about a no-hitter anymore. But a perfect game is a little bit different to a lot of people. That is a little bit different. However, I think the easy commentary is you got to leave them in. It's early in the year. This is special. You don't have a chance. What happens when you throw a perfect game, John? What do you get? What ultimately comes from that? Your name, it's another win, and your name is in baseball almanac.
Yeah.
You get in baseball almanac. There is no bonuses.
No.
Your team doesn't get a 2 and a 2.5. It's not worth two wins. There's no benefit to a perfect game other than its historical significance. And I understand that's the glory of baseball and the history of baseball. But I think Dave Roberts, who, by the way, is a serial pitch changer. I mean, Dave Roberts likes to make moves now.
He likes to get out to the mound.
I understand this move. You have a very strict pitch count. You're coming off a lockout where players weren't allowed to, you know, you had a shortened spring. Players weren't allowed to work out at facilities. And Clayton Kershaw, you have a pitcher who's older and who has a history of injury here, especially recently. I totally get this. I completely get this because odds are the most you could have let him keep going, and then he would have gone 14 innings maybe 17 innings. Then what are you doing? Now you're at the ninth inning? Are you pulling him out one inning before? It's easier to do it two innings before than one inning. Because once you get through eight, yeah, it's like, he's at 97. Now I got
to
keep going.
Well, and 80 seems to be the number right now that teams are looking at. I want 80 pitches, I'm out. Fromber threw three innings yesterday, 75 pitches, you're done. Sit down.
I mean, three at 75. That feels like a record for Fromber.
That was ridiculous. 25 pitches an inning. All right, 713-780-3776. We had some more controversy yesterday as Bill Simmons dropped an F-bomb on one of our heroes, okay? I mean, maybe not a hero, but one of our young athletes. And we will talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. It is where you will get your payroll, and it is where you will get your HR. You heard David Gow talk about this on our air. David Gow says, hey, we've had issues with HR. Oh, no, it's not Granato. Hey, sometimes it is me. Hey, okay, sometimes it is me. And you know what? If you've got employees like me, you need HR because you don't want to mess it up. Because, oh, I'll sue you. Oh, I will sue you. That's right. And guess what happens? It does happen. It happens that employees, if you do not handle your HR correctly, they will sue you. So it's kind of a big deal. You know what else is a big deal? Getting your payroll to everybody at a great price, as opposed to paying somebody or multiple people in your payroll department so that they have to do it. And, oh, by the way, is it going to be done well? Is it going to be done perfectly? Because ours is done perfectly every time. And then the tax time comes, and you got the experts with the Affordable Care Act. And not only the experts with the Affordable Care Act, but it's just so easy the way that they do it. It's nothing come tax time. It's tax time right now. This is, if you're sweating it right now and your payroll company ain't helping you out, or you don't have a payroll company and you don't want to sweat taxes anymore, go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
717 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dane Brugler joining us at the bottom of the hour here. That's just about 13 minutes away. We will talk to him.
You know what his draft guide is called? The Beast.
The Beast.
It's really good.
Yeah,
Dane,
I've seen that.
It's really good. If you're a subscriber of the Athletic, Dane is one. I do a podcast with Dane every week. We do the football show, which... on the Athletic, and it's a pretty good podcast relative to the draft podcasts that are out there. But Dane is a very man. He puts a lot of time into this.
I've got three different tabs pulled up from the Athletic.
They all talk about the Beast, right?
And the Beast, yeah. I mean, the Beast is obviously a big part of it, but their draft coverage is pretty extensive.
It's good.
They've really got, they'll do a draft guide for every team. Then they do, you know, they do all, and obviously they do Dane with his picks and everything else. But they have got an extensive.
They've done a nice job. So that basically, what the Athletic is they're trying to go old school journalism, where they say, okay, you know what, let's get Houston Chronicle type coverage for all of our Houston sports teams on one site, the Athletic.
Yeah.
So think of like a big, USA Today, just to try to put it in context for you. But every team is covered. That's what the Athletic is. They've grabbed real world journalists from, you know, newspapers and from guys who, you know, Ken Rosenthal, I think, is on there, right? I believe Ken Rosenthal's with the Athletic now. They're taking people who have been on some of the big mainstream sports sites and then maybe got cut for due to, you know, salary purposes when you know, they've had the cuts over the last 5 years. This is where you still get where ESPN's turned pretty goofy in a lot of what they've done, trying to just go after low-hanging fruit. The Athletic is still primarily for the hardcore sports fans.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, they have real coverage. It's not just clickbait topics like, should Lamar Jackson sit out this year without a contract? That's not really what they're doing. They do a really, really nice job. This is not a paid advertisement. I have a lot of respect for them trying to bring the real kind of sports journalism back. So And yeah, Dane Brugler does is a big part of that with his draft coverage. And I know the amount of work he puts into. He puts same work I put into it. Dane puts at least as much into it. He does write ups on each of the people too. Before he evaluates them, he gives you a heads up on who they were in high school and stuff like that. So really good background stuff.
All right, we'll have him on at the bottom of the hour, just about 10 minutes from now. But right now, we're talking about Bill Simmons and on his podcast.
Man,
he
Bill
talked
Simmons.
About he talked well. He said that about Jalen Green. Now, we beeped it out, but what he says is F Jalen Green here, if you don't understand it. They were talking about rookies, the first team, all rookie team. And they put he put Herb Jones on, who, by the way, looked really good last night. The Pelicans win.
Herb's a good defender.
He's not obviously not the scorer that Jalen Green is. There are very few of those. Especially in this rookie class, but Jalen Green didn't make first team all rookie in the NBA, and Bill Simmons has got a vote and didn't vote for him. And here is Bill Simmons and the guys talking about that.
They put together with CJ McCollum, Larry Nance, Jonas Valanciunas, Herb Jones.
Yeah,
they have
our guy Herb Jones.
I mean, they
Herb
can
Jones
beat you.
Is hipster Twitter favorite for sure.
I put him on all defense.
You have him second team forward, Bill.
I put him first team all rookie.
I had him
put him over Jalen Green. Jalen Green. Hey, I don't care you're scoring 40 points. Your team's 19 and 60.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Bill.
Herb Jones was like guarding dudes in real games.
Bill, when I look back at my ballot this year,
now the Houston people are going to be mad at me. I'm sorry. I like winning players. I'm sorry. Jalen Green will get there. It's just that team was 21 and 61 this year or whatever. Anyway, sorry, Casey.
All right, so a couple of things about that. First of all, I mean, who else made that team from Orlando? Finished two games ahead of the Rockets. First team all rookie. The Detroit didn't win anything, and yet Cade Cunningham is a first team all rookie. It's not about winning when it's a rookie deal.
Now
does Jalen Green play any defense? No. Nah. Huh, Jalen Green doesn't play defense, but can Herb Jones score like Jalen Green can? Nah,
I don't really have a huge problem with, you know, Jalen Green should be on first team, but I don't really have a huge problem if you want to have your own vote and have a defensive player on there. Okay, that's fine. Jalen wasn't great the early part of the season. He was rookie of the year the second half of the, I mean, maybe not second half of the season, but the last third of the year, he was literally rookie of the year. Pretty much without contest. And I know the wins and losses, come on, the entire rest of the team is involved here, and the Rockets team isn't good enough. Bill Simmons made a huge mistake there. One of the things that someone brought up about Bill Simmons on draft night, this has been an ongoing theme with him. He, after draft night, he said, you know, a lot of these guys in this class, you get the sense it's all we, us. He said, except for Jalen Green, who was all I, me. So I think there is a bias that has already been established with Bill Simmons. I think internally he's got a bias against him. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably got a bit of a bias against Rocket fans can be a little annoying at times. They can be. Every fan base can, depending on how much chatter. I can tell you this. Nationally, the Rockets have not done themselves any favors with, you know, Daryl Morey and that team sending in videos to the league all the time and complaining nationally about James Harden. I mean, literally putting complaints on there after Giannis wins the MVP, complaining that it should have been James. They have done themselves as an organization no favors by their reactions and responses to things that really had nothing to do with basketball, about winning awards. And then number two, with cutting up videos all the time and sending it to the league, all the complaining, right? We already know that. With that said, I mean, F Jalen Green, that's a little strong.
He
on
said
a,
it
on a
jokingly.
Podcast. Yeah, I get it. I get the context of it.
Yeah.
And then he went
He said, the Chronicle did a story and on him saying F Matt, Jalen Green.
Matt Young.
Yeah.
Who listens to the show, by the way.
He does.
Yeah.
And then Bill Simmons retweeted and said, this is ridiculous. You had the context of it. I was joking.
Yeah, I think we were laughing during 80% of this. My point was, I'm always leaning toward a rookie like Herb Jones, who was meaningfully contributing to a decent team over someone putting up stats on a bad team. Jalen is going to be excellent. Then he followed that up with, but congrats on getting your traffic, Houston Chronicle. Keep churning out those subs. So I guess, I don't know, subtweets. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But
I guess.
I just know, oh, subscriptions. That's what subs would be. So I still think F. Jalen Green's a little strong to say, because you know it's going to be taken as F. That in a sentence, that's it.
Yeah.
F. Jalen Green is what you're going to take out of that. And
he's like, when oh, you man, do listen
Jalen
to it.
Green. Yeah. I'm not trying to. That's something you could say at the barbershop, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you're going to say it on a podcast and people can use it against you, you have to know what's coming. And especially for a guy like Bill Simmons. I mean, Bill, what some of you won't remember is Bill wrote the most scathing article about Houston back when they had ESPN Page 2, blasted Houston during the Super Bowl. Just said it was a disgraceful city and all this and that. When he came to the Super Bowl here, we had bad weather, and frankly, 2004 Houston wasn't as cool as 2016 Houston. I'll admit that, but the weather was really bad. It just happened to be bad during Super Bowl week. And Bill wrote this scathing article about Houston, which was disappointing because at the time he was the hip pop culture meets sports. Like no one else was doing that at the time. So it was very, very disappointing for him to take those shots at Houston. And I don't think he just generally does not like the city of Houston. I'm not trying to be one of these crybaby fans, but I mean, he doesn't. You add in whatever little beefs have happened with him over the years with Twitter and Rockets Twitter and whatever the case may be. And I think that's one of the things that probably played into him saying, man, F. Jalen Green. Well, that's a little strong to say.
Yeah, it's a little strong to say.
I know that
he said it jokingly.
I get it.
It was in a natural conversation. I'm not going to hold it against him. And there's a lot of people that came to Herb Jones' defense. He was first team all defense. Herb Jones had a plus 103 points saved, and that led the league. It's fifth highest among all 2013 and 22 wing stoppers, not rookie ones, all of them. So Herb Jones played well. That's all fine and good. I could understand if you like Herb Jones and you think that Herb Jones deserves it because of how well he plays defensively. Okay, I get that. I just have a problem with, first of all, your thoughts about playing on a good team as opposed to that. That doesn't play into Rookie of the Year. That doesn't first team rookie. That's because for the most part, all the guys on that list, other than Herb, and oh by the way. The Pelicans were 10 games under 500. It's not like a winning team. They weren't a winning team. I mean, what the hell?
I know.
That's why it doesn't
really make a lot of sense, some of what he said. That's why I don't think, once again, he called Jalen a me, I player earlier. So I think he's got some, I think he went into this with some confirmation bias.
All right, when we come back, Dane Brugler, we're talking NFL draft with two of the preeminent draft experts in the NFL. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance is the other one, by the way. Absolute marble and granite is what I'm talking about right now. And Jeff Aronoff and getting your deal done. People, if you're looking for a great way to redo that whole kitchen, if you're looking for a great way to redo those bathrooms, and you know what? It's something that's got to be done. If you've got an old sink and vanity and the floor is terrible, you've had water leaks or whatever, the toilet is old, you really got to do it. You really, really do. Because that is going to be one of the things when somebody comes to buy your house, if the bathrooms are all shunk out, they're going to go, this place is awful. I mean, and you can tell how old a house is by the bathrooms too, by the way. And oh, by the way, you know, you freshen up those bathrooms with a new toilet, a new shower tub, a new vanity, new walls, it's flooring, whatever tile, whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, your house looks tremendously more attractive than it was. Yes, the bathrooms are that important. So is the kitchen and the dining room and the outdoor patio and everything else. Jeff Aronoff can get all that done. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite. 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5.
You are You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dane Brugler, the Beast, with us here. The Athletic, what a job they're doing covering the NFL draft. And Dane is leading the way, and he's joining us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dane, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Thanks for being here. We, obviously, with Lance, our draft expert here, we talk about the Texans ad nauseum, Dane. Get your opinion on what would be a very successful 3 and 13 picks for the Houston Texans.
Well, I think obviously the board's wide open. You know, I think there's so many different directions this organization can go. I actually just came out with my 7-round mock draft on The Athletic today, so hopefully people go check that out. And I think what I have at 3 and 13 would be, I think, a successful first round, and that's Ike Ekwonu, the offensive tackle, can also play guard out of NC State at number 3. And then at 13, Jermaine Johnson, the pass rusher out of Florida State. And I think both these guys are building blocks for what we're looking to do, both culture-wise, on the field. Ike is a guy that is a explosive run blocker, but his stride that he's made in pass protection give you a lot of optimism about what he's going to grow into as a franchise left tackle down the road. And then Jermaine Johnson, I think what you love most about him is you get excited as much about his ability as a run defender as you do about his ability to rush the passer. I mean, he can do it all. You see length, you see winning in different ways with his pass rush moves, the awareness of what's going on in the backfield. So building in the trenches and really getting those building blocks, I think that'd be a great way to go for the Texans in the first.
Yeah, Dane, I'm with you, and I know that's Lovie Smith's mantra. I know Nick Caserio has done a lot of that in New England with Bill Belichick, is building the fronts, building the fronts, building the fronts. So you had Lovie Smith come out and literally tell everyone that cornerback is a problem for the Texans. Mm-hmm. So let's get into a couple scenarios. At number 3, or if the Texans were to, let's say, trade up from number 13 to number 6, because they've got the draft capital to do that, and then Carolina moves back and picks up Kenny Pickett at number 13. So they address their quarterback, but they pick up draft capital too because they have no second or third round pick. Let's say the Houston Texans with the first pick take Evan Neal, and then with the 6th pick go with Derek Stingley, who I am being told the Texans are doing heavy, heavy, heavy work on him right now and have been through the whole process. They just got done having a 1-hour meeting with Stingley, with some of their bigwigs. They've had multiple meetings. Multiple people have met with him from the organization. Would you be okay with Stingley at 6, number 1? Would you be okay with Sauce Gardner at number 3 in a different scenario?
Yeah, I think I'd be okay with both those scenarios. I think it makes sense. You know, with Sauce, I think if you want him, you probably have to take him at 3 instead of, you know, hoping for a trade-up option. You know, guys that are, you know, that size, 6'3", 190 pounds, running the 4.4s, you know, he was kind of a slow burn on tape because you kept wanting to see him burst. You know, better competition, a better receiver, but teams just stayed away from his side of the field. He saw only 11% of the defensive targets last year for that Cincinnati defense because offenses, they knew better. Just don't throw at him. So it's a little bit of a slow burn for me, but the size, the athleticism, the confidence that he brings, I mean, this energy is something that really shines through with a guy like Sauce Gardner. So, you know, I think he's worthy of that number 3 pick. I think even at number 2, Detroit will take a long look at Sauce Gardner. So that's certainly in the discussion. And then that's really good intel about Stingley, Lance. And I think that would make sense because I don't think he makes it to 13. I think you look at Seattle at 9 makes a ton of sense. There's several landmines before the 13th pick, 12, the Vikings. So they would have to move up to go get him. And with Stingley, you know, it's fascinating. We flipped that 2019 season and the 2021 season. We're talking about Stingley as maybe the number 1 overall pick. He was that good as a true freshman for LSU back in 2019. But durability, you know, some of these injuries, some inconsistencies on the field, and that's where a little bit of concern creeps into your mind. But there's no doubt Stingley has the athleticism. He has the ball skills. There's a lot of ability there. If you're convinced that, you know, he physically, the physical toughness, competitive toughness is there, he checks that box, then I think that Stingley will be, you know, six would not be too early for him.
Dane Brugler, the Beast, on the Athletic right here on ESPN 97.5.
All subscribers, by the way, it's free. You just need to go download it. It'll tell you what password you use. And so if you're a subscriber there already, you can go check it out and see all of Dane's writing there.
All right, let's talk about these quarterbacks, Dane. Not who's going to be taken first. Who's going to be the best? Who's got the skills to be the best quarterback in this draft?
Yeah, you know, and that's obviously the conversation that I think a lot of teams are having is, you know, floor versus the ceiling arguments. You know, who's best equipped to help us right now, but who's going to be the best quarterback from this class 5 years from now when it's all said and done? And I think that's where you get into discussion of Kenny Pickett versus Malik Willis. Kenny Pickett, he's NFL ready right now. He can help you win you a football game tomorrow. But, you know, in terms of his ceiling, is he a guy that can lead you to the Super Bowl? Can he lead you, you know, to these tough playoff wins on the road? That's the big question. And if you don't believe that, then, you know, what are we doing? You know, is he really worth a first-round investment, an early first-round investment? But then you have Malik Willis, who has all these elite traits in terms of a compact build, a big arm, the electric athleticism, you know, from all accounts, the high character guy who's going to put the time in, and, you know, a guy that you really believe in terms of what he brings to the field from just a football character standpoint. But the quarterback position, there's so much that goes into it in terms of the field vision, you know, in terms of being able to win with your eyes and your mind. And that's something that it's not that Malik Willis can't do it. It's just he wasn't asked to do it on a consistent basis in college. And so, as one scout put it to me, he played in a JV offense. And so there's a big projection there with Malik Willis. Probably not going to help you in year one, but then you're looking at year two, year three. What's Malik Willis going to look like? And that's where you get a lot of different opinions around the league. So I think if you're betting on the traits, you're betting on ceiling, Malik Willis is going to be your guy. If you want someone that's going to come in and help you win right now, then you're looking at Kenny Pickett.
Dane, I've been asked questions by Texans fans about wide receiver at pick number 13, and I can't, you know, I just feel like O-line, D-line, cornerback should probably get the lion's share of consideration at 3 and 13. If the Texans were to go wide receiver at 13 or with their first pick in the second round, which I believe is pick number 36, they've got an early pick in a second. Give me your idea at 13 and then your idea at early second about receivers we could be looking at.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because I actually, in my seven-round mock today, I've got Icky at 3, Jermaine Johnson at 13, and then I have him going wide receiver at 37 in the early second round. And I think this is a receiver draft where I think it's a little top-heavy with the guys that we have in the first round, second round. And I think we'll see a little bit of a drop-off after that. But in the first, I think it'll be, you know, pretty tempting to take one of these wide receivers there, even though I would agree with you. It's not one of the top needs. You know, there's going to be some really good players at maybe some other premium positions there. But, you know, if a Garrett Wilson's still there from Ohio State, who, in my opinion, is the best receiver in this class because he gets open before the catch, he gets open after the catch. There's a lot that you can do with Garrett Wilson across the formation. Jameson Williams, a guy with that type of speed, it's special. And any given play, he is a threat to make a big play happen. And that's someone that defenses have to game plan for. Drake London from USC can be a quarterback's best friend with his catch radius and, you know, being a former basketball player. All those cliches fit with him, playing above the rim, boxing out defenders, all of that fits. So I think it'll be pretty tempting with some of those receivers, but in the early second round, there's going to be value there as well. And I have the Texans going with George Pickens in my mock draft, a guy who kind of similar to Stingley in terms of, you know, had that breakout true freshman year and then because of injury maybe kind of fell off a little bit. So he's got that discount sticker on him. 6'3", 195 pounds, ran in the 4.4s in the 40-yard dash. You love the ball skills, his ability in 50-50 balls. The ball tracking is outstanding. So George Pickens, I think, is one of the receivers in this draft that has true number one traits. It's just he needs to get back to that pre-injury form, and I think he's worth betting on in that early second round.
How about early third for a running back? Give me a name.
I think it's Kenneth Walker from Michigan State, Breece Hall, Iowa State, both those guys are going to go in the second. And then after those two, that's when we start talking about Isaiah Spiller from A&M, Tyler Algier from BYU. I'm a big fan of those guys. Both Georgia players, running backs, I think are going to be in that mix as well, depending on what you're looking for. You want more of the pass catcher, the guy you can line up out wide, run routes. Well, then James Cook, Dalvin's younger brother, that's going to be your guy. If you want more of the inside runner, Zamir White, who is more of a no-nonsense guy. He's got burst. He's got some juice to him. Just not a ton of creativity in terms of making guys miss, but he's going to hit the hole. He's going to grind out yards. He's got some injury stuff in his background, but in the third round, I think Zamir White could be in that mix. But I think the sweet spot's going to be third, fourth, fifth round. It's a really loaded running back class in those three rounds. So I don't think the Texans or any team is going to feel pressured that they have to get their guy in the third. They can afford to wait till the fourth, even the fifth, and I think still feel pretty confident about getting an Abram Smith from Baylor or, you know, Rashad White from Arizona State. There's a lot of really intriguing backs in this class.
I think there's starters in the fourth and fifth, potential starters. That's how deep wide receiver is to me. There's no star wide receivers necessarily, running back rather. No real stars, I don't think. I mean, in the first round, there are two better than everyone. That's Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker. But I think the depth of running back, this is as deep as I've seen for a while. I mean, you got some really good. See, I'm much higher on him than you are, but there's a guy named Kevin Harris who I went back and watched his 2020 tape from South Carolina, and I thought, man, this guy can't go. 2021, he was hurt, had a back injury from the offseason, not as good. But I just think that you are going to find guys that can play. I actually think Jaylen Warren from Iowa State is a pretty good little back. He doesn't look the part of what you'd expect from an NFL back. He's kind of squatty. Remember how he just roughed up the Longhorns this year? And this guy, all he does, he transferred in from where? Boise, Dane?
Utah State.
Yeah, Utah State. And he's got this massive chip on his shoulder, and all he does is produce. Everywhere he's been, he's just highly, highly productive. He's the type of guy you're going to get like in the sixth round. So it's a really deep running back draft. The Texans can wait if they want to. Although I do think it'd be interesting if Breece Hall were if he were still available in the second round, if they would consider Breece Hall with that early pick in the second. I do think that would be an interesting look because having a good running back also helps quarterbacks.
You think? I'm done with Rex Burkhead and David Johnson. Oh, can't we have a guy that can just actually run with the football? That'd be great. Dane Brugler, the beast. Get subscribed to The Athletic. The coverage is excellent, excellent, excellent. Man, we really appreciate it. And you guys, you're going to give them, you guys got, what about your podcast, love?
Yeah, make sure you check out the podcast on The Athletic. It's called it's on The Football Show. We're part of the podcast network in there, and you can check out Dane and I. It just dropped yesterday, right?
Yeah, yesterday our podcast from this week. So yeah, we talked about your mock draft, Lance. We broke that down. We talked about some of the bargain fits in the day two, day three. If you don't get your guy in the first round, some guys in the second and third and fourth rounds that'll fit. So yeah, a lot of good stuff. So hopefully people check it out.
Yep, there it is, The Athletic podcast. Dane, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. I know you're busy right now, so that's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Dane.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
All right, there's Dane Brugler right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, what about Lucille? What about Monday? We got a little tournament.
Yeah, we got a little tournament for Lucille's. So this is great. Lucille's 1913, that is the name of the nonprofit that was created by Chris Williams. Chef with a grandmother who has a great history as a cook. It's incredible. And he honors her by creating this nonprofit. And you got a chance to take advantage of a great day of golf and support a great cause. Helping feed those in need is what Lucille's 1913, a nonprofit that feeds and nourishes Houston's most vulnerable communities. That's what they're doing. And on Monday, April 18th, they're going to be hosting their second annual golf tournament at Herman Park, and it benefits Lucille's 1913. So in other words, when you're out there playing, you are helping to fund a group that is helping people who are the most vulnerable from a food shortage standpoint. Come out and enjoy the fun with celebrity golfers. They have complimentary beverages and an exquisite 19th hole dining experience that you are going to love, thanks to Chris Williams and the good folks over at Lucille. So register today online and find out more by going to the website lucilles1913.org. That's lucilles1913.org.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit hrp.net today. Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
It's 751 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So much to do. And so little time. We talked about Kershaw. For those of you just joining us, we talked about Clayton Kershaw and Dave Roberts pulling him. 80 pitches, perfect game. All right. I get it. It's early in the season. You don't want this is about a championship. It's not about individual accomplishments. I mean, it had Twitter up in arms yesterday. I thought it was a little ridiculous. If he throws 20 more pitches, whatever. And who knows? Who knows? But we've seen guys get hurt after
20 pitches in two innings is a little tough.
Yeah.
You have to be really good at the end of that game. And Dave Roberts said he felt like his stuff was ticking down.
Yeah. Well, so, he was averaging just over 11 pitches an inning already. So
no, I get it. But you're expecting him to be at his very best at the end when we know historically guys do better as the game goes on.
Well, I mean, sometimes guys do better with a no-hitter at the end of the game because their adrenaline is so high. You know, you never know how that. But he did what he thought was best for the team, and everybody's up in arms. Ah!
Chase, who's listening, Chase Hernandez, who was a pitcher at HBU, he said, "I'm just telling you this: the pitching coach starts, the manager starts walking to the mound to come get me. I'm telling him to take his ass back into the dugout."
Well, no, he said it actually happened to him.
Oh, it did happen?
Yeah, I think he said the.
Oh, I thought he was doing a hypothetical.
Oh no, if I was, yeah, you're right. Yeah. If I was pitching, turn your ass around because I'm staying out here. That's at HBU. It's a little different than the Los Angeles Dodgers, Chase, okay? And by the way...
Well, no. First of all, they'd let you keep going at HBU. Like at Rice?
Right.
You were like... Wayne Graham was like, how are you only throwing 119 pitches?
Yeah.
Get back out there. Like, okay. The Major League Baseball, they realized we got Lance McCullers issues. Like,
By the way, Lance throwing...
I know that was good. Huh? He had a little throwing size. He's playing catch, but that's a concern in Major League Baseball. Is these guys are getting paid millions? They are being relied upon to help take you to the World Series or to the playoffs. You have to be careful with arms, and they've learned more over time. But the real thing that you have to look at is the argument about, well, look at Steve Carlton. Well, look at Nolan Ryan. Well, look at guy pitchers in the 80s. You know what they didn't do? Play on travel teams. You know what they didn't do? Play baseball year-round. Tom House says the most damaging thing to happen to baseball was travel team baseball and players being asked to specialize in a single sport. Not go play football, not go play basketball, but from a young age, specialize in just baseball because it's not meant to be thrown, especially with great torque, with breaking pitches. It's not meant to be done throughout the year. You're supposed to put the baseball down and don't pick it up for like 4 months is what Tom House will tell you. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. Kids are asked to – and even though you have, you know, innings, you have a certain amount of innings that you can pitch and stuff like that, it's still every single doctor, every single orthopedic surgeon says the biggest issue with these Tommy John surgeries that have happened. Do you remember when it was just Tommy John had that Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, right.
Now Tommy John surgery is no big deal for a high score college.
But it's amazing how Tommy John actually had Tommy John surgery. This is actually tweeted out, and I was like, BS. This is crap. This is a load of crap. Super 70 Sports. Are you following Super 70 Sports?
I think so, but I never see
it. It's funny. The dude is funny. In June of 1974, Nolan Ryan threw 235 pitches against the Red Sox. He made his next start on 3 days rest and won.
That's not possible.
And then he pitched 19 more years. Well, I Googled it. Pitching 13 innings against the Boston Red Sox on June 14th.
Did you say 13 innings?
13 innings against the Boston Red Sox on June 14th, 1974. Ryan threw 235 pitches, striking out 19, walking 10, getting a no decision. He got a no decision.
That's literally Nolan Ryan's whole career. Strike it out 19, walking 10, no decision.
And then during September, he was the first one to have his pitch measured. He was the first one that they put a gun on a pitch.
It was September 7,
1974. 235 pitches. He made his next start 3 days later. On 3 days rest.
Once again, he was primarily a fastball pitcher. Not as much breaking pitches. He did have that big 12-6. He didn't throw as many sliders. He was not as big an arm torque guy. And the other thing would be, I will tell you that I seriously doubt that Nolan Ryan was headed out on weekends with his mom and his dad driving to Beaumont for a weekend series where he played travel baseball when he was 12 with his own specialty coach.
Oh, no. I think
having him throw every day when he was 12.
I think he probably played all the sports down in Alvin. I mean, he played everything.
Yeah,
he
guess what? His arm was not an issue.
Well, here's the thing. Schilling used to say, you know, I get stronger as the year goes on because I'm throwing a bunch of fastballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was also
a fastball. And that's what Nolan Ryan did. And so, but 235 pitches? That's four starts today.
Dave Roberts would vomit. Jimmy Williams would have freaked out.
Jimmy Williams would just be nuts.
235. That doesn't seem like that's even possible.
235 pitches.
That's how many starts did you say?
That's four starts.
Yeah, minimum three. Good pitcher.
It's three starts for a good pitcher. Three starts. Holy crap. It's 757 ESPN 97.5.
That's two starts for a pitcher in 1994.
Yeah.
That's two starts for Roger Clemens.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. All right, 757 ES. When we come back, Baker Mayfield feels disrespected. Baker feels disrespected. We'll hear from him on the other side. But right now, we're going to hear about Great Plate.
We're going to hear about, let's go with Jack's Grill right now. I want to talk about Jack's Grill. They brought food up to us a few different times. There's three different locations on Jack's Grill. I think they should have more. If you're listening to me right now, Paul, I would just go ahead and open up another location somewhere because three is not enough for what you're getting. And what you're getting is good old-fashioned comfort food for the most part. I mean, the appetizers that you've come to expect and love, bang bang shrimp, the fried mushroom, the quesadillas, you can find something for everyone. But I want to spotlight a couple of items that you may not know that they have. They've got the salmon salad. So if you're looking to eat a little healthier, might I suggest a salmon salad. If you want something hearty and rich, how about grabbing a Caesar salad with a roasted corn and chicken chowder? You can combine those two for a meal. Burgers that are awesome, like the backyard barbecue burger with the cheese, bacon, barbecue aioli, and crispy onion strings. That is a winner. And I have them throw jalapenos on that sucker as well. Turkey burgers, if you want to eat healthier on the burger front. And then this is where it gets fun. Chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken, fried shrimp and catfish, po' boys or combo po' boys. You've got the fried catfish platter. All of these are available. And then finally, I'll go down to the grilled catfish fillets, the grilled sirloin, shrimp skewers, and so much more. Kids menu is expansive, and if you have a sweet tooth, they've got an awesome cheesecake for you as well. That's all at Jack's Grill. They've got television set up. You got beer. You got margaritas. You got your drinks for your kids. You're watching your games. It's all there at Jack's Grill. Take a look at their menu online at jacksgrillhouston.com or to find a location nearest you.
ESPN 97.5.